Good afternoon. It is Saturday afternoon, and I want to take a few minutes to speak to you about what God might be doing with America and with Maranatha Baptist Church. Please take time right now to find your one-year Bible and get it, as I will be making reference to it often. If you don't have your one-year Bible, then your regular Bible will be just fine. I will do my best to give you time to find the text. As I give you just a second to put your hands on your Bible right now, I'm going to give you time to do that. I'd like for you to look in your Old Testament reading, or in Deuteronomy 26, today's reading. And I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. It's the translation that my one-year Bible for this year is in. I want to read Deuteronomy 26:17. It says, "Today you have obtained the Lord's agreement to be your God and for you to walk in His ways and to keep His statutes and His commandments and His ordinances and to obey them. Because of what Christ has done on the cross, because we have seen our sinfulness and our need for a Savior, because we have said with our mouths and with our hearts that Jesus is Lord, this is what He requires of us, to keep and to do His commandments." Again, I want you to understand this, that this instruction and this edification today is for a local church, Maranatha Baptist Church in Nashville, Arkansas. So I want to ask about three questions today. And first of all, I want to ask the question, so what has happened in biblical history? And here's what's happened throughout biblical history. God has brought blessings and curses upon His people. If you would, turn to Numbers 25, 1 through 9. It's in the readings back on March the 15th, I believe, but you can find it either there or you can find it in your regular Bible. Numbers 25, 1 through 9. "While Israel was staying at Shittim, the people began to have sexual relations with the women of Moab. These invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. Thus Israel yoked itself to the Baal of Peor, and the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel. The Lord said to Moses, 'Take all the chiefs of the people and impale them in the sun before the Lord, in order that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel.' And Moses said to the judges of Israel, 'Each of you shall kill any of your people who have yoked themselves to the Baal of Peor.' Just then one of the Israelites came and brought a Midianite woman into his family in the sight of Moses and in the sight of the whole congregation of the Israelites, and while they were weeping at the entrance of the tent of the meeting. And when Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he got up and left the congregation. And taking a spear in his hand, he went after the Israelite man into the tent and pierced the two of them, and the Israelite and the woman through the belly. So the plague was stopped among the people of Israel. Nevertheless, those that died by the plague were 24,000. In our March readings, we have read in Numbers 24 and 25, and it speaks to us about the things that are going on. So how many Israelites died? 24,000 out of a possible 2.5 to 4 million people possibly. A couple of days ago, our worldwide count of people in the world was 7.5 billion. And out of that 7.5 billion, there has been 63,893 that have died of the virus. In the United States, out of 327.2 million people, 8,156 people have died. And why did the Israelites die? Well, two things. They had taken up sexual immorality, and they had taken up the idols of the Moabites and the Midianites. So we've answered the question, so what is going on in the world, and what is going on and what has happened in biblical history? So right now, I want to talk just for a moment about what is going on in America with this virus, with this modern day plague. First of all, let me assure you that this virus did not catch God by surprise, and that He is using this virus for His intended purpose. Daniel 4, 34 through 35, and I'm reading now from the New International Version, says this: At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven, and my sanity was restored. And then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified Him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. And God, or He does as, I'm sorry, and He does as He pleases with the powers of heaven and with the peoples of the earth. And no one can hold back His hand or say to Him, "What have you done?" Let me say also that in this time, that I can only address two of America's known and willful sins, and the others will have to be left for another time. The buzz this week for evangelicals has been a New York Times article that blamed the virus on evangelicals. So the question that I want to ask to you is this: could God have brought this virus, this plague, on the modern-day evangelical church to get their attention and to punish them for their sins and to bring them to repentance? And let me answer for you. Absolutely. If that is so, God is completely justified to do what He is doing. Why would we even hesitate to say that God might be punishing the modern evangelical church? Has the modern evangelical church not embraced sexual freedom that has taken over the world? How about the modern evangelical church that screams about homosexuality and yet condones heterosexual adultery? There is little or no teaching on abstinence in the church today, and no confrontation at all of sin out of wedlock. A deacon might be openly sleeping around. A choir member sings in the choir every Sunday. And a young person is pregnant out of wedlock, and there's no fear of being confronted by the church. And yet Jesus speaks in Matthew 18, 15 through 19 about how to practice church discipline. So let me ask you, in the Bible, why did God bless some and curse others? I'm reading from Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 10 right now. Therefore, obey the Lord your God, observing His commandments and His statutes that I am commanding you today. The Bible throughout history speaks that if we do what He says to do, we'll be blessed. If we don't do what He says to do, we can expect to be cursed. Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 3, speaking to the Israelites, maybe speaking today to the modern day church. And here's what it says in Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 3. Now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all His commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall be the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. But Deuteronomy 28:15 says this, "But it shall come about, if you do not obey the Lord your God, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes with which I charge you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you." In verses 11 through 15, if you want to go there and look exactly what it says, it basically just tells us if we keep His commandments, He will bless us. And if we forsake His commandments, He will curse us. So could this curse not be the curse of God on the modern evangelical church that has embraced openly the sins of the world? One of the Puritans said, "How could this happen? So how have men become so lenient in worship? How have men become so lenient in keeping the commandments of God?" And here's what the Puritan says, "Because the God of modern man is not a God to be feared." And let me just tell you, the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. It is obvious that we, the, quote, modern day evangelical church, does not know the God of the Bible. Oh, we know the God of love, and everyone embraces this God of love. But how about the God of wrath? And by the way, what did Christ experience on the cross? He experienced the wrath of God. And when He died upon the cross, He satisfied the wrath of God so that we might not have to suffer as believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ the wrath of God at judgment. And we also know that He's a God of justice. And in order for us to be justified, someone had to pay our sin penalty, and that someone was His own Son, Jesus Christ. Exodus 22:3 says, "I'm the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me." Have we not the same idols that the world has? So what is the modern evangelical church's idols? Well, how about prosperity? How is a church known to be knocking the doors off and to be doing great things? Well, here's how. They've got lots of money. They've got lots of people. They have lots of baptisms. So what is the idol of the modern day evangelical church member? Well, let me tell you, not just the church, but church members. Our idols are our possessions. Matter of fact, to get more specifically, money is America's idol of choice. In 2009, I was at a True Church conference in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, and heard speak for the first time Conrad McVeigh, and he said this as he pulled a $10 bill out of his wallet and he held it up. He said, "America, even in the church, this is your idol." So what has God told us, Maranatha Baptist Church? What has He told the modern evangelical church? He's told us the same thing He told the Israelites and He told the Gentiles would be required of them at the Council of Jerusalem in Acts 15:29. And here's what He said. "We are to abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from what is strangled, and from fornication. We are to refrain from embracing idols, and we are to refrain from sexual immorality." And He goes on to say, "If you keep yourselves from these things, you will do well, or you will be blessed." 2 Chronicles 20:33. Says, "During his reign, however," the reign of Jehoshaphat, who maybe was the greatest king of Israel ever, here's what was said about his reign or his time. "During his reign, however, he failed to remove all the pagan shrines, and the people never fully committed themselves to follow the God of their ancestors." Deuteronomy 26:17 again says, "Today you have obtained the Lord's agreement to be your God, and for you to walk in His ways and to keep His statutes and His commandments and His ordinances and to obey them." If we do that, what can we expect? We can expect blessings. If we do not do that, what can we expect? we can expect God's curses upon us. If we keep His commandments, what can we expect? Blessings. If we don't keep His commandments, what can we expect? Curses. Can anyone say murder of the unborn? Can anyone say sexual immorality of the most heinous kind and embracing all the idols of the world? So what can we do, church? What does God call us to do? And He says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous, in another translation, just, to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So what must we do, Maranatha Baptist Church? What must the Evangelical Church of America to do? Repent. We are to turn away from the idols of the world. We are to turn away from greed and the lure of prosperity and sexual immorality. And we are to turn from our idols. And then we can expect God to bless us and to bless the church and to bless America. So, oh God, call the modern church, call the evangelical church, call your church, oh God, to repentance, that this curse might be stopped. And dear Lord, that you might bless the church and bless America as you see fit to do. Lord, we love you this day. We praise you. We pray that you would take this feeble attempt to talk about what's going on in the local church and in America. And I pray that you would do with it exactly what you see fit to do for your honor and your glory. And it's in the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen.